Sure, Lindy. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us in the same Spirit to be truly wise and ever to rejoice in his consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The prevenient act rounds to begin the day. Most Holy Trinity, I thank and praise you for this new day. And setting my will in yours, I affirm I want only to live and act in your will, thus making my prevenient act, I set all my acts of the day in order in you. Good morning, Blessed Mother, I love you. Come help me offer my first act of the day as an act of love and the divine will to God. Good morning, my Jesus. I come to make my first act of the day an act of love in your divine will. I immerse myself all in your holy will and embrace its immensity to multiply my act to the infinite in your eternal act. First, I make my act diffuse in all the thoughts, in the glances, in the words, in the movements, in the steps, in the heartbeats, in each breath, and in every act of every human being, from Adam to the last creatures who will live upon the earth. I offer this act to you, our Creator. Then, since all things in creation were made by God for the love of the creature, I take this love in the sun, the stars, the earth, the sea, the birds, the flowers, and all the other things in creation. And making it mine, I offer it as so many other acts of homage, of love, of blessings, and of praise. And going up in paradise, I make my rounds for all the angels and for all the saints. I unite myself to all the heavenly court, and for each and every one, I give an act of love to you. Next, I take all that which dear Louisa has done, who has done good to everyone and has loved everyone, and has operated in a universal manner for God and for everyone. I take it as though mine, as well as all that has been and will be done by those who live in the divine will, and work in this same universal manner, and offer it to you as a still more beautiful act of love. Now I draw near to the Blessed Virgin, my dear Mother, she being ready to make a gift to me of all her merits. With the confidence of a little child, I take all she has done from the first instant of her Immaculate Conception to her last breath, and as if all were mine, I offer it to you, O God, as the most beautiful act. And then I go to the Eternal Word made man and ask him to make me partake in all his acts, his conception, his birth, his escape into Egypt, his 30 years of hidden life, his years of public life, his passion, his death, his resurrection and ascension to heaven. I make it all mine and offer it to you, O Sacrosanct Trinity. And thus, as a poor, miserable creature, do I offer you an act most complete and most holy, since I offer nothing of my own, but rather return to you all the glory from that which you have done. Amen.
The Command Prayer. Abba, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the unity and power of the Holy Spirit, under the mantle of Mary, with all the angels and saints, through the intercession of the servant of God, Louisa Picaretta, please take my humble prayer and make it your command, that all be accomplished and completed in your most holy divine will. We believe, we receive, so be it. Fiat. Amen.
Morning offering in the divine will. O Immaculate Heart of Mary, Mother and Queen of the divine will, I entreat you, by the infinite merits of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and by the graces God has granted to you since your Immaculate Conception, the grace of never going astray, Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, I am a poor and unworthy sinner, and I beg of you the grace to allow our Mother Mary and Louisa to form in me the divine acts you purchased for me and for everyone. These acts are the most precious of all, for they carry the eternal power of your fiat, and they await my yes, your will be done. So I implore you, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, to accompany me as I now pray. I am nothing, and God is all. Come, divine will. Come, Heavenly Father, to beat in my heart and move in my will. Come, beloved Son, to flow in my blood and think in my intellect. Come, Holy Spirit, to breathe in my lungs and recall in my memory. I fuse myself in the divine will and place my I love you, I adore you, and I bless you, God, in the fiats of creation. With my I love you, my soul bilocates in the creations of the heavens and the earth. I love you in the stars, in the sun, in the moon, and in the skies. I love you in the earth, in the waters, and in every living creature my Father created out of love for me, so that I may return love for love. I now enter into Jesus's most holy humanity that embraces all acts. I place my I adore you, Jesus, in your every breath, heartbeat, thought, word, and step. I adore you in the sermons of your public life, in the miracles you performed, in the sacraments you instituted, and in the most intimate fibers of your heart. I bless you, Jesus, in your every tear, blow, wound, thorn, and each drop of blood that unleashed light for the life of every human. I bless you in all your prayers, reparations, offerings, and each of the interior acts and sorrows you suffered up to your last breath on the cross. I enclose your life and all your acts, Jesus, within my I love you, I adore you, and I bless you. I now enter into the acts of my Mother Mary and Louisa. I place my thank you in Mary and Louisa's every thought, word, and action. I thank you in the embraced joys and sorrows, in the work of redemption and sanctification. Fused in your acts, I make my I thank you and I bless you, God, flow in the relations of every creature, to fill their acts with light and life, to fill the acts of Adam and Eve, of the patriarchs and the prophets, of the souls of the past, present, and future, of the holy souls in purgatory, of the holy angels and saints. I now make these acts my own, and I offer them to you, my tender and loving Father. May they increase the glory of your children, and may they glorify, satisfy, and honor you on their behalf. Let us now begin our day with our divine acts fused together. Thank you, Most Holy Trinity, for enabling me to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat.
Consecration to the divine will. O adorable and divine will, behold me before the immensity of your light, that your eternal goodness may open to me the doors and make me enter into it to form my life all in you, divine will. Therefore, O adorable will, prostrate before your light. I, the least of all creatures, put myself into the little group of the sons and daughters of your supreme fiat. Prostrate in my nothingness, I invoke your light and beg that it clothe me and eclipse all that does not pertain to you, divine will. It will be my life, center of my intelligence, the enrapturer of my heart, and my whole being. I do not want the human will to have life in this heart any longer. I will cast it away from me and thus form the new Eden, peace of happiness and of love. With it I shall always be happy. I shall have a singular strength and a holiness that sanctifies all things and conducts them to God. Here, prostrate, invoke the help of the Most Holy Trinity. They permit me to live in the cloister, the divine will, and thus return in me the first order of creation, just as the creature was created. Heavenly Mother, Sovereign Queen of Divine Fiat, take my hand and introduce me into the light of the divine will. You will be my guide, my most tender mother, and you will teach me to live in and maintain myself in the order and bounds of the divine will. Heavenly Mother, I consecrate my whole being to your Immaculate Heart. You will teach me the doctrine of the divine will. Excuse me. And I will listen most attentively to your lessons. You will cover me with your mantle so that the infernal serpent dare not penetrate into this sacred Eden to entice me and make me fall into the maze of the human will. Heart of my greatest good, Jesus, you will give me your flames that they may burn me, consume me, and feed me to form in me the life of the divine will. Saint Joseph, you will be my protector, the guardian of my heart, and will keep the keys of my will in your hands. You will keep my heart jealously, shall never give it to me again, that I may be sure of never leaving the will of God. My guardian angel, guard me, defend me, help me in everything so that my Eden may flourish and be the instrument that draws all men into the kingdom of the divine will. Amen.
Prayer for Louisa's beatification. O Most Holy Trinity, our Lord Jesus Christ taught us that as we pray, we should ask that our Father's name be always glorified, that his will be done on earth, and that his kingdom should come to reign among us. In our great desire to make known this kingdom of love, justice, and peace, we humbly ask that you glorify your servant Louisa, the little daughter of the divine will, who with her constant prayer and suffering deeply yearned for the salvation of souls and the coming of God's kingdom in the world. Following her example, we pray you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to help us joyously embrace the crosses of this world, so that we may also glorify your name and enter into the kingdom of your will. Amen.
Prayer before each lesson of the Divine Will Cenacle. May the will of the Father, made known by the Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit, reign in me through Mary, in every act I do this day, and every act for the rest of my life. May I enter into the eternal divine order of God to place my absolute nothingness in the heart of the Most Holy Trinity, to give to my Father the joy of fulfilling the purpose of my existence by doing all the acts of my life through the Immaculate Heart of my Mother and in the divine will. And in this same manner, may I breathe, think, speak, pray, eat, live, act, work, walk, and sleep. May my soul be devoid of any longings, wants, or desires, except for those of my beloved divine will. And may you, Lord, do with me whatever you want, long, or desire. All I ask is that you bind me in your most holy will so intimately that I may never swerve from carrying out what I know to be your good pleasure, and that I remain so docile to the movements of your divine will that you never perceive even a breath of resistance in my soul to your desires for me. Come, divine will, with all the angels and saints, especially my sweet mother, to touch my forehead and to imprint on it the Holy Spirit and infuse in me the light so that I can understand the truths and goods that are in these writings and prayers. Amen. Fiat.
April 16, 1926. How, in order to live in the divine will, it takes full abandonment into the arms of the Celestial Father, how the nothing must surrender its life to the all, how the Celestial Mama is the true image of the living and the divine will. I was feeling so very little and incapable of doing anything, and I called my Queen Mama to my help so that together we might love, adore, glorify my highest and only good for all and in the name of all. In the meantime, I found myself within an immensity of light and all unabandoned in the arms of my Celestial Father. Even more, so identified with him as though forming one single thing with him in such a way that I no longer felt my own life, but that of God. But who can say what I experienced and did? Then, afterwards, my sweet Jesus came out from within my interior and told me, "My daughter, everything you experienced, your full abandonment in the arms of our Celestial Father, no longer feeling your own life, is the image of living in my divine will. In fact, in order to live in it, the creature must live more of God than of herself. Even more, the nothing must give life to the all, to be able to do everything, and to have her act at the top of all the other acts of each creature." Such was the life of my Divine Mama. She was the true image of living in my will. Her living in it was so perfect that she did nothing but receive from God continuously all that she was to do in order to live in the supreme volition. So she received the act of supreme adoration to be able to place herself at the top of every adoration which all creatures were obliged to do for their Creator. In fact, true adoration has life within the three divine persons, our perfect accord, our reciprocal love, our one will, form the most profound and perfect adoration within the sacrosanct Trinity. Therefore, if the creature adores me, but her will is not in accord with me, it is a vain word, not adoration. So, my mama took everything from us to be able to diffuse herself in everything and to place herself at the top of every act of creature, at the top of every love, of every step, of every word, of every thought, at the top of every created thing. She placed her prime act upon all things, and this gave her the right of queen of all and of everything. And she surpassed in sanctity, in love, in grace, all of the saints who had been and will be, as well as all the angels united together. The Creator poured himself upon her, giving her so much love that she possessed enough love to be able to love him for all. He communicated to her the highest accord and the one will of the three divine persons in such a way that she was able to adore for all in a divine manner and to make up for all the duties of creatures. Had it not been so, it would not be a truth, but just as a manner of speaking, that the Celestial Mother surpassed everyone in sanctity and in love. But whenever we speak, it is facts, not words. Therefore, we found everything in her, and having found everything and everyone, we gave her everything, constituting her queen and mother of her very Creator. Now, daughter of my supreme will, one who wants everything must enclose everything and place herself at the top of the acts of all as prime act. So the soul must be at the top of every love, adoration, and glory of each creature. My will is everything. This is why the mission of the Sovereign Queen and yours can be called one. And you must follow, step by step, the way she conducted herself with God to be able to receive the divine attitude in order to have within yourself a love which says love for all, an adoration which adores for all, a glory which diffuses throughout all created things. You must be our echo, the echo of our celestial mama, because she alone lived perfectly and fully in the supreme volition. Therefore, she can be your guide and act as your teacher. Ah, if you knew how much love I am around you. Ah, if you knew with how much love I am around you, with how low, I'm sorry. You must know, forgive me. Ah, if you knew with how much love I am around you, with how much jealousy I watch over you, so that your living in my eternal will may not be interrupted. You must know that I am doing more with you than with my very celestial mama, because she did not have your need, nor any tendencies or passions which might, even slightly, prevent the course of my will in her. With greatest ease, the Creator would pour into her, and she into him. My will was always triumphant in her. Therefore, she had no need either spurs or admonitions. With you, on the other hand, I must use more attentions. When I see that some little passion, some little tendency wants to arise within you, and also when your human will would want to have some act of its own life within you, I must admonish you. The power of my will must remain in the act of knocking down whatever arises within you which does not belong to it, and my grace and my love must flow into that rot which the human will keeps forming, or, with anticipated graces, prevent the rot from forming in your soul. This, because I love so much the soul in whom my will reigns, and in whom the supreme fiat has its field of divine action, the only purpose of all creation and of redemption itself. And she costs me so much that I love her, and she costs me more than all creation and of redemption itself. In fact, the creation was the beginning of our work toward the creatures. The redemption was the means, and the fiat will be the end. And when works are accomplished, they are loved more, and they acquire their complete value. Until a work is accomplished, there is always something to do, to work on, to suffer, nor can one calculate its right value. But when it is accomplished, all that is left is to possess and to enjoy the work done, and its complete value comes to complete the glory of the one who has formed it. Therefore, creation redemption must be enclosed in the supreme fiat. Do you see then how much you cost me and how drawn I am to loving you? The fiat, operating in triumph in the creature, is the greatest thing for us, because the glory which was established by us to be received through creation is given back to us, and our purpose, our rights, acquire their full power. This is the reason for my attentions, all for you, for my manifestations to you, and for my love for all creation and redemption, all centralized in you, because in you I want to see the triumph of my will.
April 18th, 1926. The divine will, symbolized by the wind. The divine will is the depository of the divine works, and it must also be the depository of the works of creatures. I felt all shrunken within myself, and I tried to fuse myself in the holy divine will, to run along with it, so as to keep it company in its works, and to requite it at least with my little I love you. Now, while I was doing this, my sweet Jesus, coming out from within my interior, told me, "My daughter, courage, do not pay attention to your littleness. What you must care about is to keep your littleness in my will, because by being in it, you will be dissolved in it, and my will, like wind, will bring the freshness it possesses into your act as refreshment for all creatures. It will bring a warm wind to inflame them with my love. It will bring a cold wind to extinguish the fire of their passions. And finally, it will bring a humid wind to produce the vegetation of the seed of my will." Have you ever experienced the effects of the wind? How it can turn the air almost instantly from warm into cold, from humid into a most fresh and refrigerating air. My will is more than wind, and your acts in it, by agitating it, move the winds it contains, and it produces admirable effects. Then, all these winds united together invest the divine throne and bring to their creator the glory of his will operating in the creature. Oh, if everyone knew what it means to operate in the supreme fiat and the prodigies it contains, they would all compete to operate in it. See, our will is so great that we ourselves make it the depository of our works. In our will, we deposited the creation that it might remain ever beautiful, fresh, whole, new, just as we issued it from our creative hands. In our will, we deposited the redemption that it might be always in the act of redeeming, and my birth, my life, my passion and death might be always in the act of being born, of living, of suffering and of dying for the creature. In fact, our will alone has the virtue and the power to maintain the work done always in act, and to reproduce that good as many times as one wants. Our works would not be safe if they were not deposited in our will. If it is so with our works, much more so should it be with the works of the creatures. To how many dangers should it be? To how many dangers are they not subject when they are not deposited in our will? How many changes do they not undergo? Therefore, all our contentment is when we see that the creature makes the deposit of her acts in the supreme volition. These acts, though small, and also the trifles of the creature, compete with our acts, and we delight in seeing her industriousness, that in order to place her trifles in safety, she deposits them in our will. Now, if our will was the depository of creation and of redemption, it must also keep the deposit of the fiat on earth as it is in heaven. Here is the reason for my pushing, so that you may do nothing without depositing it in it. If you did not form the deposit of all of yourself, of your little acts and even of your trifle, not having its full triumph over you, my fiat would not be able to carry out its fiat on earth as it is in heaven.
He finishes up to carry out his fiat on earth as it is in heaven. Because further before that, the paragraph before that, he's asking, he's really showing to us, when Luisa is in the divine will and all her acts are in the divine will, they are there for eternity. And he calls it in act, just like all his acts in divine will are in eternity. We can really tap into them anytime we want. And he wants Luisa's act to be in the divine will. And that's why he speaks in the way he does that paragraph before. He wants Luisa's acts to also be in the divine will. Amen.
April 25th, 1926. Currents and waves of love among God, the creation, and the soul, who lives in the divine will. How the fiat is triumphant in heaven and conquering on earth. I'm going through most bitter days because of the privations of my sweet Jesus. I feel I am breathing a poisonous air, which is enough to give me not one death, but 1,000 deaths. But as I am about to succumb under the mortal blow, I feel the vital and balsamic air of the Supreme Volition, which serves me as counterpoison, so as not to let me die, and it keeps me alive, that I may suffer continuous deaths under the incalculable weight of the privation of my highest and only good. O privation of my Jesus, how painful you are. You are the true martyrdom of my poor soul. O Supreme Will, how strong and powerful you are. By giving me life, you prevent my flight toward the celestial fatherland, to find the one whom I so much long for and desire. O please, have pity on my heart exile. Pity on me, who live without the one who alone can give me life. But while I was feeling crushed under the weight of his privation, my lovable Jesus moved in my interior and fixed his gaze on me. At his compassionate gaze, I felt restored from death to life. And since I was doing my usual acts in his supreme volition, he said to me, "My daughter, while you were impressing your 'I love you' in my will upon all created things, all creation felt the love of its creator being doubled. And since created things do not have reason, that love flowed with impetus toward the one who had created them. And the celestial Father, in seeing the love that he issued in creation being doubled by the little newborn of his will, so as not to be surpassed in love, redoubles his love and makes it flow over all created things to follow the same course which his little daughter has followed. Then he centralizes all this love in the one who sent him his love doubled. And with paternal tenderness, he awaits the new surprise that his newborn would double his love again. Oh, if you knew the currents and the waves of love which come and go from earth to heaven and from heaven to earth, how all the things of creation, though in their mute language and without intellect, feel this doubled love of the one who created them and of she for whom they were created. And they all assume the attitude of smile, of feast, and of letting flow, benevolent, their effects toward creatures. The living in my will moves everything, invests everything and fulfills the work of the Creator in the creation. The fiat on earth, as it is in heaven, has a prodigy, a note more harmonious, a characteristic more beautiful, which it does not enjoy and possess even in heaven. In fact, in heaven, it possesses the prodigy of a fiat of absolute triumph, which no one can resist, and all the enjoyment in the celestial regions come from the supreme fiat. But here in exile, in the depth of the soul, it contains the prodigy of a conquering fiat and of new conquests, while in heaven there aren't new conquests because everything belongs to it. In the pilgrim soul, my fiat is not absolute, but once the soul with it in its own work, and so it delights in manifesting itself, in commanding, and even in praying her to operate with it. And when the soul surrenders and lets herself be invested by the supreme fiat, such harmonious notes are formed, produced on both sides, that the Creator himself feels cheered by his own divine notes coming from the creature. These notes do not exist in heaven, because heaven is not a dwelling of works, but of enjoyments. Therefore, my fiat on earth has the beautiful characteristic of impressing its own divine operating within the soul and of making her the repeater of its works. So in heaven, my fiat is triumphant, and no one in the celestial regions can say, here I have done a work to prove my love, my sacrifice to the supreme fiat. Here on earth it is conquering. If one likes the throne, much more does one like new conquests. Indeed, what would my fiat not do in order to conquer one soul, to make her operate in its volition? How much has it not done, and does it not do for you? Then afterwards, my sweet Jesus made himself seen crucified, and he was suffering very much. I did not know what to do to relieve him. I felt annihilated by the privations suffered. And Jesus, unnailing himself from the cross, threw himself into my arms, telling me, help me to placate divine justice, for it wants to strike the creatures. A strong earthquake could be felt, such as to cause the destruction of towns. I was left frightened. Jesus disappeared, and I found myself inside myself.
April 28, 1926. The creation and the celestial mama are the most perfect examples of the living and the divine will. How the Virgin surpasses everyone in suffering. I was thinking to myself, when my sweet Jesus speaks of his will, he often unites with it the sovereign queen of heaven or the creation. He seems to delight so much in speaking of both one and the other that he keeps looking for opportunities, pretexts, and devices in order to manifest what his most holy will does, both in the celestial mama and in the creation. Now, while I was thinking of this, my lovable Jesus moved in my interior, and all tenderness squeezed me to himself and told me, my daughter, if I do so, I have strong reasons. You must know that only in the creation and in my celestial mama has my will remained ever intact and has kept its field of action free. Therefore, having to call you to live in my will as one of them, I had to propose them to you as examples, as an image for you to imitate. So in order to be able to do great things in such a way that all may perceive that good, unless they did not want to, the first thing is that my will must act wholly in the soul. Look at creation, how my will is whole in it, and because it is whole, creation remains always in its place and contains the fullness of that good with which it was created. This is why it remains always new, noble, pure, fresh, and can share the good it possesses with all. But the beautiful thing is that while it gives itself to all, it loses nothing and remains always the same, just as it was created by God. What has the sun lost by giving so much light and heat to earth? Nothing. What have the azure heavens lost by remaining extended in the atmosphere, or the earth by producing so many and so various plants? Nothing. And so with all the things created by me. Oh, in what an admirable way does creation sing that saying about me: He is ever old and ever new. So my will in creation is center of life, is fullness of good, is order and harmony. It keeps all things in the place wanted by it. Where can you find a more beautiful example, a more perfect image of the living in my will, if not in creation? This is why I call you to live in the midst of created things as their sister, that you may learn to live in the supreme volition, and you too may remain in the place wanted by me, to be able to enclose within yourself the fullness of good that my will wants to enclose in you, so that whoever wants it may take of that good. And since you are endowed with reason, you must surpass them all and requite your Creator in love and glory for each created thing, as if they were all endowed with reason. So you will be the substitutor for all creation, and creation will be a mirror for you in which you can reflect yourself in order to copy the living in my will, so that you may not move from your place. It will be your guide and teacher, giving you the highest and most perfect lessons in the living in my will. But the one who surpasses all is my celestial mama. She is the new heaven, the most refulgent sun, the brightest moon, the most flowery earth. She encloses everything, everything within herself. If each created thing encloses the fullness of its own good received by God, my mama encloses all goods together, because since she is endowed with reason and my will lived wholly in her, the fullness of grace, of light, of sanctity grew in every instant. Every act she did was suns and stars that my will formed in her. So she surpassed the whole creation, and my will, whole and permanent in her, did the greatest thing and impetrated the longed for Redeemer. This is why my mama is queen in the midst of creation, because she surpassed everything, and my will found in her the nourishment of her reason, which made it live as whole and permanent in her. There was highest accord. They held each other's hand. There was not one fiber of her heart, word, or thought over which my will did not possess its life. And what can a divine will not do? It can do everything. There is no power it lacks or thing it cannot do. Therefore, it can be said that my mama did everything. and everything that all others together could not do, nor will be able to do, she did by herself. Therefore, do not be surprised if I point out to you the creation and the sovereign queen, because I must point out to you the most perfect examples in which my will has perennial life and has never found an obstacle to its field of divine action, in order to be able to operate things worthy of itself. My daughter, if you want my supreme fiat to reign as it does in heaven, which is the greatest thing that is left for us to do for the human generations, let my will have the place of sovereign in you and live as whole and permanent. Do not be concerned about anything else, be it your incapacity or the circumstances or the new things which may arise around you, because as my will reigns in you, they will serve as raw material and nourishment so that my fiat may have its fulfillment. Afterwards, I was thinking to myself, is it true that my Queen Mama made the greatest of sacrifices which no one else has made? That is, not even wanting to know her own will, but only that of God. And through this, she embraced all sorrows, all pains, up to the heroism of sacrifice, sacrificing her own son in order to do the supreme will. But once she made this sacrifice, everything she suffered afterwards was the effect of her first act, nor did she have to struggle as we do. In different circumstances and unforeseen encounters and unexpected losses, it is a constant struggle to the point of making our hearts bleed for fear that we might surrender to our own belligerent human wills. How much attention one must have so that the supreme will may always keep its place of honor and its supremacy over everything. And many times the struggle is harsher than the pain itself. But while I was thinking of this, my lovable Jesus moved in my interior, telling me, my daughter, you are wrong. The maximum sacrifice of my mama was not only one, but they were so great and so many, for as many as were the sorrows, the pains, the circumstances, and the encounters to which her existence and mine were exposed. Pains were always doubled in her, because my pains were hers, more than her own pains. Besides, my wisdom did not change direction with my mama. In each pain she was to receive, I always asked her whether she wanted to accept it, in order to hear that fiat being repeated to me in each pain, in each circumstance, and even in each heartbeat of hers. That fiat resounded so sweet, gentle, harmonious to me, that I wanted to hear it being repeated in every instant of her life. This is why I would always ask her, Mama, do you want to do this? Do you want to suffer this pain? And my fiat would bring her the seeds of the good it contains and would make her understand the intensity of the pain she was accepting. This understanding through divine light of that which step by step she was to suffer gave her such martyrdom as to infinitely surpass the struggle which creatures suffer. In fact, since the seed of sin was missing in her, the seed of the struggle was missing. And so my will had to find another device that she might not be inferior to the other creatures in suffering, because having to acquire by justice the right of Queen of Sorrows, she was to surpass in suffering all creatures together. How many times have you yourself not experienced this? that while you felt no struggle within you, as my will would make you understand the pains it inflicted upon you, you would remain petrified by the intensity of the pain. While you were undone in that pain, you were the tiny little lamb in my arms, ready to accept yet more pains to which my will would want you to be submitted. Ah, did you not suffer more than in the struggle itself? The struggle is a sign of vehement passions. While my will, if it brings suffering, gives intrepidness, and with the knowledge of the intensity of the pain, it gives one such merit that only a divine will can give. Therefore, just as I act with you, that in everything I want from you, first I ask you whether you want it, whether you accept it. So I did with my mama. This so that the sacrifice may be always new and may give me the opportunity to converse with the creature, to be with her, and my volition may have its field of divine action in the human will. Now, as I was writing what is written above, I could not continue on because my mind was estranged from my senses by a beautiful and harmonious chant accompanied by a sound never before heard. This chant called the attention of everyone and harmonized with the whole of creation and with the celestial fatherland. I write all this to obey. As I was hearing that chant, my Jesus told me, my daughter, hear how beautiful it is. This sound and chant is a new canticle formed by the angels as homage, glory, and honor to the union of the divine will with your human will. The joy of all heaven and all creation is so great that unable to contain it, they play and sing. After he said this, I found myself inside myself.